Bow! Zip! Pow! Welcome everybody to another episode of Nerd Explain It, your favorite comic book podcast. A comic book podcast for every level of nerd. Today, we'll get our shit together today. Today we are going to do a little bit of a bonus episode for everybody today. Today we are going to be talking about that scruffy looking Nerf herder.
That is our word.
Han Solo, in celebration of the Solo movie coming out.
Today.
It came out today, son of a bitch. All right, so bonus episode for everybody who missed that one. I said it 30 seconds ago. Talking about Han Solo today, I'm here with my crew as usual. To my right, we got Larry Bay.
What up?
Dave Burt. And 1,000 miles away in the Sunshine State, Jess and Greg.
Mother Dick.
What's going on? And it's not so sunny
right now. No,
it's no light comes
it's like
from
Seattle,
that state.
Washington right
no
now.
No fake sky today down there?
No, it's pretty,
dead spring breakers and meth.
You're not wrong.
As always, as a reminder to everybody who's listening, if you have any questions or some comments you want to throw our way, if you have any recommendations for some episodes, or if you want to reference some stuff that you heard that you want us to explain a little bit more, don't forget to call the Nerdsplain It helpline, 805-669-7230. So we're going to jump right in today with this bonus episode on Han Solo. It's actually a character that I don't know a whole lot about other than what's come from the movies. Thankfully, Wookiee here is I think all of his brain is just Star Wars at this point.
24/7 at this rate.
Well, I mean, to start with, to pick up on something we started talking about before we were recording, his last name is Solo. Is he an intergalactic incel? We never see him get laid.
We don't.
Well, we know he has a kid, though.
Yeah, it could be a test tube, baby.
I'll volunteer.
That thing could have been raised one of those Banta or Bacta tubes or whatever.
I want to see a Banta tube.
Right?
You're thinking of a Bantha tube, and that's a sand person's transport's penis.
Oh.
They're horrifying.
Is it like a turtle's where it, like, umbrellas out in a terrifying fashion?
And it plays Rihanna.
Oh, God.
Hey. All Banthas are Gentiles. They are not circumcised.
They are uncircumcised.
So, our Florida people down there, how uninformed are you about Star Wars, the greatest thing in the universe?
Extremely uninformed.
My heart breaks.
And this is where we cut their audio.
No, this is great. This is the whole point. So, what movies have you guys seen?
All of them.
Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock.
No, and that's the thing. Like, Greg and I both enjoy the movies, and we're excited. Okay, I'll speak for myself.
Yeah, so I won't say all of them, now that you mentioned those few. I've seen 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, and 3, and then the last few that's came out in the last, however long.
But, like, so you saw all of them? Yeah, so you saw all of them.
We're not asking if you saw the holiday special or the Wookiee Life Day special.
You know, no, I was confused. Oh my God, you're gonna hate me. Sorry, audience. I was
Ewok confusing Avengers.
That with Star Trek.
Oh my God,
you're in so much trouble.
Greg, buddy, it's only 1 o'clock in the afternoon where you're at. Where? How much have you been drinking?
Well, I was up until six in the morning.
Oh, it's a lot.
Is Star Wars the one above the little room?
All right,
I'll
so you guys,
you're
way.
A captain, Harry.
I'll put it this way. Like, I've seen the movies.
Right.
I enjoy the hell out of them. Like,
yeah,
I love
fantastic.
It.
Yeah.
How
would you know?
Like,
you just thought of the wrong movies.
When it comes to the conversations, like, there are things that I'm like, what? Okay.
There's definitely levels of conversation when it
like,
comes
and
to
I'm
that.
Just like, wow, I'm missing so much of these movies. I was just having fun watching them. Like, there's a lot to it that I miss.
Well,
maybe it's because people
remember.
See them so often they pick up on so many things throughout the years and they just retain it. Like, for me, I've maybe seen these movies individually maybe two or three times
oh,
the most.
That's wrong. That's not, you're doing it wrong, Greg. I'll say this. Like, okay, I'm in Florida. Disney World is, you know, a common occurrence in my life.
And they're building a Star Wars land or world.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Okay, go to Hollywood Studios. You go to ride Star Tours, which is like one of the coolest rides ever.
Right.
But then they have like this whole, like pretty much like that whole area has, it's like a museum of props and some really cool shit. And it's awesome. But then like, I'm there with my brother-in-law and his best friend, and they're like, oh, this is such and such ship, and so pilots it, and this is the hilt of, and I'm just like, what, how?
Yeah, like, I don't.
How?
That kind
how
of,
do you
that
know
level
all these
knowledge?
Things? Like, you have to be doing research outside of the movie.
Yes, it's called Living Star Wars.
Okay.
I don't.
So I feel a little bit better. So maybe we know quite a bit more than we're giving ourselves credit for?
You probably do. Okay. The most important thing to remember about Star Wars is the thing that binds us all together is midichlorians.
Little tiny
germs. Get out.
Get out.
You are in my house and I have every right to say that. Right? damn you.
That joke was lost on me.
Okay.
Well,
how much time do we got?
Let's pull on Jerry's leash a little because we're doing, because now we're stepping into the force and, yeah. and coming okay. from germs. we're going to talk about the most popular non-force user.
A guy who actually doesn't believe in the force.
Right.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
We're going to give Jerry an
aneurysm.
So?
We're going to give Wookiee an aneurysm.
Well, sorry. I actually misspoke because he's not the most powerful non-force user. Because his name, huh?
Is it popular?
Sorry, not... Dash Rendar is better. That's what I'm going to say. We'll do a whole other episode of Dash Rendar.
I got so many episodes up my sleeve on right. Star Wars, guys.
So, we're going to talk
we'll
about...
We'll just start nerd-splaining Star Wars.
Okay, so let's do that.
Wookiee-splain it.
How Wookiee-splain it.
So yeah, we're gonna talk some Han Solo today. We are gonna be bringing up some terms such as canon and head canon. If you if you remember what we talked about in our first episode, canon being what is the standard. How do we want to?
So, for canon for Star Wars, it's everything released after Disney bought Lucasfilm. Once Disney bought Lucasfilm, every book, comic, video game, all of that went out of the canonverse, and that's now called Legends.
So it's the stuff that the company who produces the material says, this yes. is the stuff that actually has happened, yeah. and this is the story that is being yeah. put forth. Because
Group A matters, Group B doesn't matter anymore, and all right. of Legends is Group B.
And depending on who you ask, like, I hated the EU to begin with. I thought it was glorified fan fiction.
Explain what you're saying is the EU.
So the EU is what was called the Expanded Universe. It was all the books that were written about stuff that happened after the original Star Wars trilogy or before the original Star Wars trilogy and focused on Luke and Leia's, you know, or Luke and Leia, Luke's hypothetical kids and Leia and Han's hypothetical kids. There was no basis for it in any of the movies, anything like that. It was just fan fiction, but it got so widespread, it took on this life and this canon of its own.
And there were
so many different levels of fans. Like me, I grew up on it. That's why I remember a lot of the stuff. Like I can show me a lightsaber hilt from the movie, and I'd be like, I would know exactly whose it is.
I enjoyed the EU when it was happening because that's all the Star Wars we got at the time because they weren't making new movies. But once they started making new movies again, when Disney bought them, they had to get rid of the EU to make it make sense.
Yeah.
Because they, in the EU, or now Legends, they were writing book series that were 19 books long. And that was like one of five different series that you had to keep up on. So when Disney bought it and they were like, okay, let's make an episode 7. Okay, well, let's require everyone before they see episode 7 read 300 books that... are so
yeah,
convoluted now it wouldn't work. So Disney was like, okay, let's scrap it. The only stuff that matters are the 6 movies so far and the Clone Wars TV show. And
but
then
I
they
mean,
just started
technically,
going from
there. They can always go back and use some of that if they decide to, right?
Absolutely, and they are. Like, so Thrawn originally came from the EU.
Who's Thrawn?
Who's that?
That's going to happen a lot.
Sorry, if it's a Clone Wars TV show, I'm out.
Thrawn came from the original trilogy of books that take place after Return of the Jedi. He is a general or grand admiral that takes over after Palpatine dies. Mm-hmm. Disney bought it. They got rid of Thrawn. In the Rebels TV show, they needed a really badass Imperial officer, general, whatever you want to call him. So they're like, you know what? We already have this guy invented. Let's bring Thrawn back. And they're starting to do that. And you'll see that in the Solo movie, too, hopefully. So
is Rebels part of canon?
It is.
Okay. What about Prince Zazu?
Not part of canon.
Zazu? Was his name Zazu?
Zizor.
Yeah.
The Zizor and the Dash Rendar joke that were made earlier are referencing a Nintendo 64 game from like 1996 called Star Wars Shadow of the Empire that also spurned its own series of books in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, which have been decanonized. Yeah, tons of toys, including Chewbacca with a mullet and an eye patch. I had that one.
Who doesn't want that?
They have since decanonized all that. It was a neat game for the time, though. I somehow doubt if I were to go back and play it now, it would be that.
It's
like going back and playing GoldenEye.
It's
like,
really hard.
Yeah.
It's a really well put together game. We're just really tangenting off right now. But so no, it's really hard.
Yeah. Importantly, though, going into Solo, you don't have to know any of this. You just have to know who Han Solo is. You met him in New Hope. You met him in Empire Return. We lost him in Force Awakens. Spoilers, but it's been out for 4 years. Get over it.
Is there going to be a This Is Bespin music video?
They're probably not going to visit Bespin, so I doubt it.
Oh, so what would Lando / Donald Glover / Childish Gambino's planet be?
Oh man, I'm sure SNL has a skit about it.
Okay, probably. I hope so.
All right, let's start with the basics here, and I'll just go ahead and ask this: Who is Han Solo? As like, what is his backstory? Like, where did it? Like, you know, do we know where his planet? What, like, where he came from? You know, how old was he when we first saw him in A New Hope? And we're going to talk about the Kessel Run stuff here in a little bit, but I want to know who was Han Solo prior to us seeing him in A New Hope.
So in New Hope, he's a very much established smuggler for Jabba the Hutt.
Does he only work for Jabba?
No, he's a freelance smuggler, but when we meet him in New Hope, that's who he's working for.
Now for Jez and Greg, who's Jabba?
That's a big fat wormy guy.
That's I was going to call him Slug, but we'll split hairs on that later.
Believe me, you will.
Yeah, I will. Before we get into how old he is and all that, the timeline is split into two for Star Wars. There's BBY.
What does that stand for?
Which before is the before Battle of Yavin. The Battle of Yavin, which is like our BC era. And then there's ABY after the Battle of Yavin. So it's going to get really confusing on where this...
So for reference, for those of you who have seen the movies but didn't absorb all the information from it, the Battle of Yavin is the dogfight at the first Death Star from Star Wars Episode 4 from 1976, 77?
Yeah.
Okay. 76. Okay. That's the Battle of Yavin. So BBY is Episodes 1, 2, 3, and probably Solo will be that. And Rogue One.
Yeah, all of those take place.
And then ABY would be Episodes 5, 6, 7, now 8.
8, yeah. So, getting back to the original question, Han Solo is from the planet Corellia. These are all fictional planets, so it's hard to pronounce their names. When we meet him, it's going to be hard to know, and Han Solo, when we meet him, it's going to be hard to know exactly because we haven't seen the movie yet. But in old canon, he was an Imperial officer.
Oh.
That decides to leave the Empire after they ask him to do very bad things to the Wookiee species. And because of this, he meets Chewbacca. Chewbacca forms a life debt with him. They become best buds and head out on a space adventure.
So they took that whole aspect and turned that into Finn and Poe.
Yeah, a little bit. In Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And created the greatest bromance in the entire series.
I mean, I still think Chewbacca and Han Solo is a better bromance.
Eh, Can't really understand anything Chewbacca's saying, so you don't get those awesome.
You feel the heart, though, of it.
I mean, Han's not feeling his after Kylo.
Oh,
I feel sad.
No, that's why if Kylo, I there's no reason in my mind that Kylo gets to live past episode 9 without Chewbacca ripping his arms off and beating him to death with them.
That's what needs to happen.
Like, I don't think, like, I get it that it was Han's son and everything, but no, that would, Chewie's not, I don't think Chewie should care, it should be him just, that should be, in like the end credits, you're just hearing bone squishing against bone at that point.
That's one of my favorite things, in New Hope, they talk about Wookiees tearing someone's arms out of their sockets if they lose.
That's what I love about Wookiees.
And at the holo chess, the holographic chess. And then when they made the first of the Lego Star Wars video games, or actually it might not have been until the Lego Star Wars 2, the original trilogy. If you played as Chewbacca and you were melee attacking someone, he would every now and then jump on them and pop their Lego, little Lego arms off. It was adorable. And it came with those little...
Nice
sounds.
So okay, so he drops out of the Empire, decides to go off on space adventures, and
from trailers it seems like this is going to be his first real space adventure.
Okay,
from the trailers he meets Chewie in this, he meets Lando in this,
right?
He's making his crew for the first time, so it very much from the trailers sound like this is a year one story for Han Solo, and we see him become the scoundrel we all love.
Okay, so, but I mean, at the base of it, he is a good guy wanting to.
Ultimately, yeah. Ultimately, he's very cocky. He wants money. He's selfish. But as we've always seen at every turn in the road, he always comes back. He comes back to save Luke at the end of New Hope. He saves Leia at the end of, or in the beginning of Empire. Sacrifices himself to keep Leia alive at the end of Empire.
Wait, when did he save Leia in Empire?
He stuck around and gave her a ride out of.
Oh, that's right.
Hoth.
Okay. So when you say he's gonna be meeting Lando Calrissian. He's gonna meet. He's bringing Chewie. He says he's putting his crew together. Now, was he ever? Because I know the Falcon, the Millennium Falcon, the pretty much the most famous ship in all of Star Wars. That's bounced around from owner to owner. I know Lando had it. Well, did they ever utilize the ship together as a crew? Or was it, no, Lando had it, and then Han got it from him, Lando got it back, and then Han eventually has it?
Han won it in a card game, didn't he?
Yeah, Han wins it in a game of Sabacc, which is a poker-like tournament. But from what we know, it's very much been Lando's ship or Han's ship.
Okay.
In the trailer, we're seeing Han and Lando in the cockpit together.
Okay.
But Lando's driving the baby. It's still his ship. It's still his property. I'm hoping this is where we see him win the ship over and do the Kessel Run, which we'll talk about later and all that.
And for good reason. I mean, there's a good reason it should be Lando's ship. If you look at the shots of the inside of the ship and how pristine and nice it is,
sexy.
And then you look at episodes 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8,
just tore
that
apart.
Ship is disgusting. Yeah. If you turn on a black light, it'd look like a Jackson Pollock painting, to quote Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Han Solo doesn't treat the ship very well. It goes from this like mint crisp like new car, and in 10 years' time, it's a beater that you just leave.
Well, when I was actually looking
like
stuff,
Dakota.
Right? Oh yeah, my old truck that was gross. Bad things happen in that truck. Two people almost died in that truck.
Two people were almost conceived in that truck just by sitting in the front seat.
Yeah, you didn't want to sit in the back one.
No.
Not on the bench seat. Ugh. Anyway, so the stuff I was looking at as far as the Falcon was concerned, it had, I think, a grand total of like 6 or 8 owners.
Yeah.
And because of the type of ship that it was, really just a freighter ship used to push other ships around.
Yeah.
It was a very modular ship. You could change and swap out parts. It was the same as a Toyota Corolla or a Toyota, like a, yeah, Toyota,
yeah.
You know, that people soup up on the streets. I can't think of a name of a Toyota that people actually are doing.
Supra.
There you go. There God. You go. Anyway, so.
Tercel, baby.
Tercel, baby. So, but throughout that, so many people were changing parts and modding it to what they wanted it to be. But yeah, it got real beat up through all they. So I don't know if that's necessarily the point directly at Han and Chewie.
Chewie put in a scratching post, Dynamat, and Underglow.
Well, if you look at the two owners that we're going to see, we see Lando, who's very cool, calm, collected. He has a plan for everything. Han Solo very much makes up plans on the fly.
Right.
And they always work for him. So it very much matches their personality. Right. Lando, like, he wants a ship that he gets to bring ladies, robots, guys back to. Whereas Han just, it needs to do the job. That's right. It. He doesn't care.
But it does break down a lot in, like, the time when they need it the most. It's like, oh, shit, we're getting shot at. Okay, well, now fix it.
So far, we've seen Lando fly it with no mistakes. Yeah. We've seen Rey fly it with no mistakes. We've seen Han fly it. We see in Han flight, and it breaks down every other scene. So he's a good pilot, not a good mechanic.
Now, Rey had issues with it when it was flying.
Only because there was adapters put on it, not of her choosing, and she knew how to fix it in a snap.
She also jammed the underside gunner's position.
Well, again, first time flying it. Once we see her in Last Jedi, we never see a problem with it.
Well, and Han blows the hyperdrive at the before Empire Strikes Back, and then most of that movie, the biggest problem is the hyperdrive. Because otherwise, he's steering the crap out of that thing.
Oh yeah,
Family Guy had a great thing about that. About, you know, I've still got some moves, and exterior shot, he kind of lists lazily to the left. Look at that, he's listing lazily to the left. This guy's got some moves. Then you get into Empire Strikes Back, and he is looping and barrel rolling the fuck out of that.
I mean,
it's going everywhere.
If you're looking at the scene when he's flying through the asteroid field and Empire Strikes Back, he's in a ship that's easily three times the size of ships following him, and he's just flying around asteroids like no problems.
Right.
TIE fighters, which were chasing him, have such a better maneuverability than a YT freighter does, but they were crashing all over the place.
Right.
Han Solo knows how to fly a bitch.
So the Millennium Falcon isn't the only one of its kind. It's just the only one we ever get to see.
Correct. Right? The Millennium Falcon is a YT-1300 freighter. The Millennium Falcon is Han Solo's and Lando's.
Dash Rendar's Outrunner is similar.
Yes, it's another brand of YTs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one, it's pretty much just designed for war, though. I mean, it's just got guns on it. It can't push stuff around. It's just...
Kyle Katarn's, I think, was... No, Kyle Katarn's was not similar. Lando can fly the hell out of it, too, because he had to maneuver through all of those tight spaces on the inside of the second Death Star.
True. Yeah.
That bastard can fly.
Okay, so my question... Okay, so when I think Han Solo, I think of Leia. I think of their relationship, right? So would this movie potentially show how they became an item? Or is this specifically just the adventures of Solo and Leia's, like, maybe an afterthought? She's not really pivotal to...
She's 9 years old at
this point. She wouldn't even be in the movie at all. He would never even heard of her at this point.
What's the age of consent in the galaxy?
Yeah, what is that?
Is there a galactic age of consent?
Yeah, so when we get into Han Solo, this is well before he meets Luke and Ben in the cantina in episode 4. This is him as his own person. It's 10 years before he meets Luke, Ben, and Leia. So we won't see any of them in this movie.
So, like, it's safe to say in A New Hope, when he first meets Luke and Ben to get them off of Tatooine and whatnot.
Oh, he gets them off Tatooine.
Yeah, he does. early 30s, let's call it that.
Yeah.
And then this Solo movie... he's in his early 20s.
Yes, early 20s.
Yeah. Oh, he's so much older than Leia.
Yeah, he's a lot older than Leia.
Does that answer your question a little bit?
Yeah, I didn't realize there was that much of a gap in their age. Like,
yeah, no, there's a big gap between their age.
It looks like for this movie, the sort of forced love interest is going to be played by Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones and Terminator Genesis. Her character, who is her character?
She is Kira.
And has she ever been in anything else? Mm-hmm. Is there any... Okay, so that's just
created for this movie. Yeah, she was created for this movie. At this point, she has appeared in children's tie-in novels, but it's nothing that's of like big... fucking then, words I don't know.
And then what about my main man, Woody Harrelson? Because I freaking love Woody Harrelson.
Who doesn't?
He is so good, so underrated.
He is in this movie, isn't he?
Who is he playing, and have we ever seen him before?
He is Tobias Beckett. He is going to be, super Star Wars last name. He's going to be Han Solo's mentor. We've heard of him in other books, but this is the first time we've actually seen the mentor. And it looks like he's the one who gives him his pistol and teaches him how to fly. Well, not fly, but like smuggle fly.
Yeah. Right.
So what else you got?
And Lando teaches him how to fly.
So. I'm trying to figure out how to even explain
this. I'm curious.
I'm still stuck because, again, like I said before, I see Han and Leia kind of like Peter and Gwen kind of a thing. Like, how does he make his way to what planet is she on? Alderaan?
Well, she's on the Death Star. Alderaan got blown up.
Okay. So, were they ever, it's off topic, but were they ever married or were they just dating or were they just a fling? She's Princess Leia, but I don't ever remember him being any part of like royalty.
Her royal family got destroyed. She still stuck the title as princess, but when she became a general, she was General Organa, not princess. The only people who referred to her as princess is C-3PO at that point, Han, and a few very close friends. But she's General Organa at the point of Force Awakens.
Okay.
I think the point of this movie is to step away from Leia.
Oh,
thank God.
So, at the start of New Hope, you see Han Solo shoot Greedo, or dodge a bullet, then shoot Greedo, however you cut you want to watch.
Han shot first.
Big time. This point of this movie isn't so much of, oh, cool, Han Solo, Leia, Luke. No, this is, okay, how did Han end up in the cantina? Like, what made him... get there. What made him a hard exterior, cocky pilot that can fly the best and that people seek him out to smuggle for him?
So his origin story.
Right.
Yeah, this is his Batman Begins before the Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Like they're panning through the cantina, it stops on his face, there's a huge record scratch. Now you're probably wondering how I got here.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. So this is not necessarily any... it's continuity is just more of explaining his backstory, but has nothing to do with
movie. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay, so you have Star Wars, right? You have 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, and 3, and then you have like these offsets of like Rogue One, and then you had like The Last Jedi, which The Last Jedi is actually progressing the story on of Star Wars and not these side movies, right?
Correct.
So what's the point of spinning all these resources on these side movies just to explain
money?
Yeah, like,
but no.
That's actually the same question a lot of people ask.
Right?
Because why do we need this one?
Right?
Right? Like, why not add this to a TV episode?
Disney, and it's gonna make money.
Unfortunately. Well, because this movie has not had an easy production, because Ron Howard was what, the third director?
Yes, third director.
And he was basically said, "Okay, they told Disney said you got 11 months to figure this out, or else."
He was given 11 months to reshoot 80% of the movie before it was released. So any sane production company would be like, "Okay, you know what? You're gonna have to reshoot 80%." Let's scrap it. We'll just take
they
a hit on
touch
it.
Right.
But Disney's like, okay, no, we know this will make money back eventually. Let's keep putting it out there. And who knows? We might look back at this and be like, wow, this is a great Star Wars movie, fingers crossed. But everyone's cringing at that because normally when a movie gets to their second director, it's very convoluted. But now it's on its third director.
But seeing how successful you have, like, shows on Netflix, wouldn't this be more appropriate for like a Netflix kind of series?
I definitely agree. You could have made they wouldn't put it on Netflix because Disney's gonna have their own streaming thing, but yeah, it would make sense to do that, I think, because like with the like the other spinoffs that Greg's talking about, like Rogue One. When I watched Rogue One, when the end credits were rolling, I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened in that movie other than, wait a minute, this end, the end of this movie and the very beginning of A New Hope, which they slam right up against each other, they don't line up.
And yeah, like to Jess's point, because it's going to make money, great. I could make a lot of money having a third leg surgically attached to my perineum.
I've seen it.
But it's not necessary.
From a storytelling standpoint.
I don't need it. We don't. To me, Han comes into the entire saga exactly when he needs to. And that was probably a problem with like the prequel trilogy. We got all these unnecessary freaking origin stories we didn't need.
Yeah.
We don't need the origin story of C-3PO. He's a robot. He's a droid. Guess what his origin story is? He was built. That's how things that get built get built.
Annabelle taught us that.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, you don't need the origin. Patton Oswalt had a really great sketch on...
You gonna buy him a taco?
I've mentioned that in the last episode, Patton Oswalt. I will gladly buy you a taco, sir. He has a really he talks about George Lucas and his obsession with the origin stories of things. He says if he went back in time, he'd kill George Lucas with a shovel. Mm-hmm. But then George Lucas would start telling him about the prequel trilogies, and it's like, oh yeah, you get to see Darth Vader, and he's just a little kid, and his mom dies, and he's really sad. And then you get to meet Boba Fett, and he's a little kid, and his dad dies, and he's really sad. It's like, we don't necessarily need these origin stories. And, like, to the point of the multiple directors, yeah, when you get to 2, it's shaky. 3, it's cringeworthy. When you get to 7, you have Jonah Hex.
And that's why the Flash movies are
really great. Let me ask
you guys this, then. Because maybe a lot of people took this out of context. Excuse me. So, how we all kind of clear on the same page of why this movie even exists. Is that the reason why, a strong reason why, Harrison Ford was kind of like, no, I'm not doing this movie because I don't feel the character is whatever he said. Like,
Harrison Ford hates Han Solo. He does not like the role at all. At the end of New Hope, he didn't know he was coming back for Empire. At Empire's end, he didn't know he was coming back for Return. He didn't want to come back for Force Awakens. So anytime Han Solo says something negative about Star Wars, it's not because he thinks it's a bad idea. It's because he just doesn't care. He loves Indiana Jones.
Right.
He hates Han Solo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, having Harrison Ford in the Han Solo movie wouldn't make sense because he's supposed to be so much younger, and then Disney would have to spend $100 million just on de-aging him for the whole film.
They did the trial run with Jeff Bridges in Tron Legacy. That was rough. They did it with Kurt Russell in Guardians. They did it with Michael Douglas in Ant-Man. It could be done.
Just not for a whole film.
Huh?
Not for a whole film. The Kessel run is a big part of Han Solo's character, so we'll break it down real... Let's walk through it slowly. It is his accomplishment that he uses to convince Obi-Wan and Luke to hire him.
Yes.
He says that he completed the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
What he says is, it's the fastest ship. What, you've never heard of the Millennium Falcon? It's the ship that made the Kessel run in less than 12 parsecs.
Okay, and that's distance. That's not a measurement time. Of distance, not time.
Right.
Not time.
So
God, I love you, Jess.
Very, very, very well done. Kessel Run.
I didn't mean to say that.
No, it's fine.
it's also a small vegetable. Parsnip. Oh, that's a parsnip.
Parsnip. So the Kessel Run is supposed to be what?
What a parsnip.
Is 18 parsecs, right?
Yes.
And it dodges Imperial ships, or goes through Imperial ships, and the reason some of the parts are longer is because you're going through asteroid fields and too close to like black holes and stuff like that.
So the Kessel Run is what we keep saying. Kessel is the planet.
A video on this yesterday because I had no idea.
Do you want to take over, please? I would love to hear you talk about Star Wars.
There's proper names that I am unaware of, but I saw that, I guess, in the extended universe, there was some tentacly monster that is being trapped in that area by all of the black holes.
Yeah.
It's like a jail cell.
So we keep saying the Kessel Run. Kessel is a spice world, and spice is a type of drug that Han Solo and other smugglers smuggle out of Kessel.
Wait, I'm sorry. You said spice world.
I'm not the only one.
I'm not going to lie. Songs popped in my head. I was singing to it.
Did they mute?
I'm dying. This is it. At least I'm going to die talking about Star Wars. I'm okay with it.
Sorry. I was knee deep in that music video right now.
So tell me what you want.
What I want?
Yeah, what you really want.
What I really, really want? I want a hat. I want a zig-a-zig. Jesus Christ.
This is a world populated by the Spice Girls that, you know, they try to slowly smuggle off.
Sign me up.
Okay.
Jesus, Joe Pesci.
Yeah, no, right? So, in Star Wars, they go into hyperspace and hyperspeed. That's along dedicated routes, like a highway. Okay. To get to Kessel, there is no hyperdrive, hyperway, whatever you want to call it, to get there. So they have to make 18 different jumps or parsecs to get to Kessel. Typically, it takes 18, a distance of space. Han Solo is bragging that he took 18 and made it down to 12. So that's like saying he ran a mile and a half mile.
Yeah.
So
the route he was able to take six. So basically, the 18 parsecs, it's 18 basically turns that you have to make, or 18 different stops that you have to make. He's saying that he did the run in 12. So he was able to cut certain distances out of it. So he was able to fly much closer to all these black holes. He was able to evade
and
all these other
so
ships.
So it's like getting the shortcuts in Mario Kart.
Yes. He was able to, but for someone who have done it, was very unlikely and not necessarily believable. That's why I think Ben Kenobi makes the comment like, oh, he's just bragging to show off.
He never says
that. And
that's
the wonders of rewriting your history. When A New Hope is filmed, he is talking about a unit of time.
Right.
And Ben Kenobi looks at him going, oh, you're just playing me for a fool with this young boy. I know you're joking.
Right.
But they've since then rewrote history to make it a unit of space or unit of distance.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't rewrite history.
No. You can't take previous information and make it match up to information that you're just now writing.
You can't do that.
That's literally never happened in two things referred to as testaments in some important book people listen to.
Oh, Lord.
Heavens to Betsy, we just fired up that.
So the initial intent when he made that comment was that he was bullshitting and hoping that he wouldn't be caught on it. And then later on they went, well, we'll build something around that to make it make sense. And then they make one other reference to that in Force Awakens, because I think it's, what is it, Finn that says,
it's Ray.
Is it Ray? Yeah. It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs. 12.
12. He's very proud of that.
Not in that moment. He's enraged that somebody got the fact wrong.
Yeah.
So then in the trailer when it shows the squid-looking thing and all the smoke and the clouds, was that
Kessel? Yeah, that's going to be the Kessel Run. They released a TV spot where they explain what the Kelso Run is.
Yeah, you got to go pick up Ashton Kutcher from Demi Moore's
house. He's going to park his car.
And it's Lando explaining the run to Han for the first time. And Han's just like, oh, just flip it to hyperspace and we'll get there, no problem. Lando's like, no, we can't do that. We'll run into an asteroid and die. And so he's very much describing it. And then later we see that giant tentacle monster come out. We see a Star Destroyer in their path and they're flying around it. Han's going to be able to do it.
Well, and then the Millennium
does
Falcon...
Does Han die in this one?
Does Han die in this one? Because the Millennium Falcon, not only is Han a great pilot, I'm going to just say he's better than Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
But the ship itself has such modifications because it has a better computer that can map out these hyperdrive, these hyperspace routes better and account for things being in the way. So the Falcon couldn't go through a Star Destroyer because it would be too smart and it would just move.
Yeah.
If you set the hyperdrive to autopilot, sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you have a suicide wish, if you have a death wish, then no problem.
Oh, speaking of the Millennium
Falcon. Speaking of suicide. Mm-hmm. Aluminum.
Aluminum Falcon. Why is this ship so iconic? Like, is this ship extra special?
It made the Kessel Run in less than
12
parts.
It made the Kessel Run in 12 parts.
But is it the ship or is it the pilot that was able to do that?
Oh, like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Clearly the rooster did.
Lando comes before anything.
No, I do clearly like that question. Because the Millennium, like, above X-Wings, above TIE Fighters, I think even above the Death Star, the Millennium Falcon is the premier ship in Star Wars.
Yeah. In most space fiction, I would say you would recognize the Millennium Falcon before wherever hell Star Trek has.
So why I almost feel like it's due to the unique design. It was a very unique design for the time compared to what you were seeing from things like Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica, everything like that. And because it was so different, that seems like what would have made it stand out the most. Because, I mean, it was iconic after New Hope, but New Hope was a massive phenomenon, you know. So the best move we saw it do was list lazily to the left.
And I think it might also be a big fact is with the release of New Hope, they made so many toys out of everything, and they started making toys out of the Falcon. Right. You could play with the Falcon in your bedroom, and that's awesome.
Right, and the thing is, the Millennium Falcon, the Millennium Falcon has its own fanboys.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you see a Star Wars trailer that's coming out, like, people are freezing it just to look, okay, what parts are there, what parts are not there, is the radar dish the same one, as it should have been at this point in time? I think
hell, when I saw Force Awakens opening night and they showed the Millennium Falcon for the first time, it got a round of applause.
Yep. Yeah. House went with me when I saw Force Awakens, and he saw me, like, visually squee when the Falcon came up, because it was just like, that's the thing, the stuff I liked from way back when.
Yep.
So essentially, Disney needs to make a movie called Star Wars Falcon.
Okay, I thought he was gonna just end it with
It's literally just gonna be a Cars-esque movie, but with a talking Millennium Falcon.
I would see that so many times.
And then they'll make two unnecessary sequels to that that'll each bomb more than the last. Yeah. Car 2's Car 3.
And then spin it off to planes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We don't.
And that'll talk about all planes. Be about Imperial Walkers.
Oh my god, how is that not happening? Talking about Imperial Walkers.
The Imperial Walking Dead.
So should we expect a lot of characters that we may grow fond of die in the Solo movie?
I haven't seen them since.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people were upset about, what was the 2 years ago?
K2SO.
After The Last Jedi. Or before the...
Rogue One,
yeah. I guess some people were unaware of where that story lied in the whole galaxy thing and was very upset that a lot of, like, they all died. But, like, I knew walking into that movie what that movie was. Like, this is not a happy ending at all.
My words of advice when you go into Solo, if the character name isn't Solo, Lando, or Chewie, expect them to die because we have yet to see them. However,
Lando
and Han Solo have signed a 3-picture deal. The actors playing Lando and Han Solo have signed a 3-picture deal. So there are sequels coming out most likely. So they may come back before A New Hope, but they will die.
So we already have a movie that makes a lot of people go, why do we need this? And now they've signed on for a few more. Why do we need this part 2? Why do we need this part 3? Seriously, why do we keep doing this?
Right. I mean, Donald Glover has a huge crowd following right now, and there's a lot of people really wanting a Lando movie.
No, Childish Gambino has a huge following.
These people are.
Glover
has made a name for himself outside of
Childish
Gambino.
I don't know what a Gambino is.
Yeah, from Community.
Okay. We're going to Community, Atlanta.
Troy and Abed in a bubble.
Anyways, I think for people who aren't diehard Star Wars fans, a la me, I don't like. I have a lot of respect for them. You know that.
Yeah. We've spent many hours talking.
And I'll ask a million questions because there are parts of it I think is cool, and I do have the opinion that Dash Rendar from the video game Shadows of the Empire is literally the end all be all, and that's the only thing you need to solve a problem in Star Wars. But it seems like we're getting a lot of cash grabs here, and which I think fine.
They stated it perfectly. Disney did when they first bought it. They bought Lucasfilm after they bought Marvel.
Right.
And what Marvel does is 4 movies a year, make money, make money, make money. And when you buy a property for $4 billion, they have to make a return on investment. And that just doesn't mean break even. That means they want $400 billion out of it.
And Disney said there is going to be a Star Wars movie every year.
Every year.
Forever now. Like, and what always happen.
Ultimately, what I want to do is I want them to stop making saga movies, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Those are called saga movies. Everything else is called a Star Wars story. It's an anthology emplacement. Mm-hmm. I want them to stop making saga movies and let that go just by the wayside. And just start making movies about the Knights of the Old Republic. What happened 3,000 years ago?
Yeah, because I mean, how many times can you, especially with the saga movies, how many times can you create a new evil empire or the First Order or another thing that just takes that place before realizing the good guys don't know how to do a cleanup job?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen an American Election?
Oh, crap.
Lucas isn't writing these stories anymore, right? Or am I wrong?
No, Lucas is well-retired and well-paid. He shows up to screenings and smiles, waves. Well, okay, he waves. He doesn't quite smile anymore. But yeah, he's paid.
Is that
paid
why they're so apprehensive of furthering the current storyline and just kind of having like, let's figure our shit out, but in the meantime, let's show stories.
No, he got bought out, and with the reviling, with the reviled reactions that the prequel trilogy got, it's not really surprising that they kind of ousted Lucas, because honestly, if you look at a lot of the stuff George Lucas has written and directed, you got Willow.
Yeah.
Wait, did he direct that?
Ron Howard.
No, that was Ron Howard. Never mind.
Who is the director of Solo? Right. Cool.
Yeah, there's Lucas, his films, not necessarily great.
And for those confused, George Lucas is the creator of Star Wars. He wrote and directed A New Hope. He wrote the story for Empire, didn't write the actual screenplay, didn't direct. He wrote the story for Return. He didn't actually write the script or direct. However, the much-hated prequels, he wrote the story, the script, and directed on. So there's a lot of people who are like, okay, he's a great story guy, but he doesn't know how to tell his story very well.
That man, he cannot write or direct dialogue.
That being said, I'd still buy him a taco.
I hate sand.
So why?
Do you think he's stopping at one taco?
I know this is off topic of like Solo, but why did they start off with 4, 5, and 6 and then go 1, 2, and 3? Why not?
Well, I hope everyone who's listening now has a lunch packed.
Well, 4 didn't even originally have the episode 4 on the front of it.
No. So originally, 4 was number 1, just called Star Wars.
Okay.
And then Lucas said, oh, no, it's a trilogy. Oh, wait, no, it's a saga. And this is 4, 5, 6. He has a tendency of thinking of stories after the first story's done. And so he didn't intend for episode 4 to be episode 4 when he made it. He thought that was a one and done, but it did so well that he's like, okay, I'm going to make a 2 and a 3. And when he's making 2, he gets asked, so how many of these are there? And in the interview, he goes, oh, there's 6. And this is actually 4, 5, and 6. He didn't know what a lot of the story is going to be. Hell, he didn't know Luke and Leia were brothers and sisters until filming of 6. Okay. He didn't know Vader was Luke's dad. That wasn't even his idea. That was Lawrence Kasdan's idea.
Which is why there's that.
He had a large story, but he just chose what he felt was the most
correct
part of that story.
Which is why they have that awkward kiss in Empire Strikes Back, which in an early draft was a brother-sister handy.
What it was is he had a great idea for Star Wars, and it made so much money that he had to quickly figure out a way to make more money off of it. Granted, okay, he did love the product, but he had to figure out how to stretch this and keep stretching it and keep people coming back. So he had kind of just a, oh, by the way, I totally meant for this to happen. That's why I had them kiss last movie.
Now, wait a minute. Twice. You're telling me a rich person wanted even more money? That's just not real. When rich people get money, it trickles down to the rest of us, sir. This has been proven.
Okay, Reagan.
Let's see. And then, where did they find this kid who's playing Solo?
Who is him?
Aldrich something?
Yeah. Killian? Aiden Aldrich.
Yeah. That's what it is. Because I know there was that guy on YouTube who did the impression of all of Han's lines from the original trilogy, and everyone's like, oh my god, he should be Han Solo. No, he can replicate those lines. Yeah. He can't do an improvisational speech as Han Solo.
So Alden is a known actor, but not well known. He's done roles in Hail Caesar and a teen movie, Beautiful Creatures, that I don't know what that means, but it was out there.
I was never a teenager.
You look in the mirror and you tell me you don't know the meaning of beautiful.
You are sexy as hell.
Gosh. What up?
But yeah, so his name is Alden Aldrich. This is how it's written.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich, there we go.
Oh.
I'm terrible at names. he's had meetings with Harrison Ford, too. He's not allowed to talk about meetings with Harrison Ford because Harrison Ford told him, it's between us, don't share what I tell you. So
you're going to hate this.
I'm sure it's a XXX movie out there somewhere fantasizing about that. Because I would watch that. Harrison Ford, woo!
I mean, I get a thrill out of watching Harrison Ford accidentally punch Ryan Gosling.
It's the one earring that just...
I get a kick out of watching him fly planes into the ground.
Yeah, he can find that golf course.
Or when David Blaine is in Harrison Ford's house and does a magic trick and the card appears inside an orange, and Harrison Ford's reaction is just to tell him, get the fuck out of my house. That actually happens. You go on YouTube and find David Blaine doing magic in celebrities' houses, and he's in Harrison Ford's, does this weird card disappearing trick where the card appears in an orange, and Harrison Ford just looks him dead in the eye and goes, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
All right, who's got we got any more questions about Han Solo?
Is it possible that Harrison Ford, because he didn't like this role, really had nothing to give and was just like,
oh, I could see that.
I could see that, but also Harrison Ford is a nice guy to people he wants to be nice to.
Yeah, not to ground.
Yeah, I'm sure they had these meetings. He bought him a really nice lunch, dinner. They had some fun conversation. And, you know, he just told him. So I showed up.
I read my line.
He was like, he tells Alden, like, I tried to have them kill me off 4 times and they refused.
So good luck getting out of this job, kid. Yeah.
But if you want to play a young indie later, let me know. Right. Oh, wait, no, that's Shia LaBeouf that plays.
No. There's only one young Indiana Jones, and that's Ewan McGregor. Anybody know the reference I'm making?
Yeah.
The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. It was a short-lived TV show in the 1990s.
I thought that was River Phoenix.
No, he was in...
River Phoenix wasn't alive that long.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't even Ewan McGregor. It was Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yes, it was Sean Patrick Flannery.
River Phoenix was young Indiana Jones in Last Crusade.
Oh, okay. Totally related Solo.
Hey, both Lucasfilms.
Both Lucasfilms? Both Harrison Ford? That's 2 degrees of connection.
One Fox, one Paramount.
Well, Star Wars was... Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Spielberg and Lucas for Indy. So, yeah, secret meetings. And I mean, if there's anything that we're not covering, you know, the fans can always, you know, submit questions. We're happy to answer them on any of the social channels. We try to get to them as quick as possible. Usually, if you ask a question between the central time zone hours of 6 a.m. and 8 or 9 a.m., if you get an answer from the Nerdist Planet page, it's probably me.
And me answering at the exact same time with the exact same answer.
And if you read it and it seems like a smarmy asshole is saying it, yeah, that's probably me.
If it's
try not to read the answer in my voice, because no matter what, then it will sound like a sarcastic asshole.
If it's someone with bad grammar, it's definitely me.
Oh my god, yes.
If it's someone who welcomes you in warm, loving arms,
it's Greg.
It's probably Greg, because he's kind and gentle.
He makes you feel so safe.
I like to put my head on his chest and have him just kind of rumble his lungs.
Purr.
Yeah, oh.
Like a Snorlax. Or like your fraternity brother.
Snorlax. Yeah, but but I like Greg's better. I don't know why, but it just, I feel welcome in his bosom.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thanks.
He gives you like a little kiss right on top of the head just so you know you're
I'm just a little upset. I thought that was just a me thing with him.
No,
I just took notes on
it. So, well, I think we have reached the climax of our first ever actual bonus episode.
I reached my climax.
Yeah, you got off right.
Yeah, in the first 30 seconds, you said Star Wars. Boom.
That's true. It doesn't take much for you.
So, we did cover a lot in this bonus episode, and for a fair bit of it, we kind of jumped off the deep end, and we're swimming in some pretty deep water as far as the lore and the canon of Star Wars.
We are deep in the Sarlacc pit.
Yes.
We're deep in the oceans of Kamino.
It's okay. The format was loose because it's a bonus episode.
Because Harry is me.
Let me ask you guys one last question, though.
Yeah, please.
When it comes to films and what they choose to let the audience see, what about spoilers, like toys and such?
This episode was so hard for me to look up stuff for because I hate spoilers so much and I love Star Wars so much. And so I was finding myself going, okay, I should read this about this, and I did.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to say anything or do any research. I mean, what are your thoughts on, like, I mean,
that's
when
what
you
I was,
go to Walmart,
I hate spoilers.
No, like if you're in the toy, he's saying if you're in the, because there's been stuff like Iron Man 3 and I think Avengers, they had Lego sets that came out that spoiled the movie.
Yeah.
Has anything like that happened with Solo?
Not with Solo, but with Star Wars a lot. So when Phantom Menace first came out, on the soundtrack, there was a track called Qui-Gon Jinn's Funeral.
Right.
Wow. That is one thing that I avoid, too, is soundtracks. If they release soundtracks before films, I try not to look at them because...
Oh, I listen to them, but it's through Spotify now, so I just let it play through and I don't look
at them. I have noticed...
Oh, okay.
When it comes to spoilers, the thing that gets me the most, they're really unavoidable, is the porno parodies. Because, of course, I'm going to watch them, and it just ruins the whole experience for me.
Actually, Jerry and I got into it on Facebook around December-ish, when Last Jedi came out, over what constitutes a spoiler.
Okay.
Because I had made mention that there was a tribute to Carrie Fisher having passed away during the credits of Last Jedi. And Jerry accused me of spoiling
to me
Last Jedi. And yeah, so we got into a very semantic argument because to me, and I think to a lot of people, a lot of people will disagree, a spoiler is specifically plot related. And if you look up the definition of a spoiler, it does mention plot related. That had nothing to do with it. Like, if it was a spoiler that the lady who played Princess Leia died, you're not paying attention to the world around you. But it is something about the movie.
Yeah. It's a spoiler is anything that will take away the impact of that thing in the movie. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was very heartbroken about Carrie Fisher. And so that took away from me that moment in the movie of them having a salute towards her.
But then the only thing it ended up being was lines of text.
Hey guys, so audience, I am a very kind person. But what I'm about to tell you, just don't judge me off of this. So last night I went to go see Deadpool 2. And for 2 weeks, I've been very good about avoiding anything about the movie. YouTube, Facebook, all of it, right? So before the movie, we decided to go get something to eat. Well, a lady had noticed that we were all wearing Deadpool shirts. So she came and approached us before she sat down and ate and was like, oh, you know, I went to go see the movie and whatnot. And we were kind of like on edge because we're like, well, we don't know exactly what this woman is about to say about the movie. So we kindly told her, yeah, we don't really want to know anything about the movie. You know, thanks for your input, but we don't really want to know. She's like, okay, well.
Just walk away. Don't talk to
me. Yeah, exactly. So she walks away and goes to have dinner, right? So after she's getting ready to eat and we're finishing up, she comes back as she's walking out. And she whips up her phone. She's like, oh, you want to know how I'm a bad person? When you take a photo with Deadpool and he tells you this. We're like, oh, that's cool. And then she goes, oh, well, there's also a couple cameos in the movie. Do you guys want? And we were like, no, no. And it got to a point where I was raising my voice at this woman publicly.
You should.
Didn't you tell me
You told her. I made eye contact with this woman and said, I will fight you.
I work at a place where nerddom is a big part of what I deal with. So when movies So when movies like Infinity War come out, you have to see them opening night, or you will get that jackass customer to come in and shout, Han Solo died. Like, what the fuck, dude? We haven't seen it. Spoilers, Han Solo dies in Solo. What?
I've seen that too. It's the same thing that happened with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is literally the letter O, the letter B, and then the number 1.
Yeah, that was
my favorite fan theory that's actually kind of airtight, but it's a bad argument because it's you can't present that and necessarily prove it and then ask someone else to disprove it because the burden of proof is on you with the theory to prove it. But the evidence that they throw in there is, it's a lot of fun. I know an old friend of ours hates that theory, but no, Obi-Wan's not a freaking clone.
What I would like to do someday.
How you doing, Lunchbox?
Yeah. Me and Dave, you guys don't see who I'm talking to. Me and Dave know a lot of fan theories about Star Wars. I would love to have a discussion about all the different crazy fan theories about it.
Okay, well, here's the thing. There's a gag order on me for insulting fans. I have been specifically told not to insult fans, so that wouldn't work really well, because...
Ooh, can I get hate mail? I didn't like Infinity War.
Because I'm not a huge fan of fan theories and the fans that create them, and most fandoms. People. I like cats. I like dogs. Apes are awesome. But yeah, no, there's a gag order on me for insulting fans, so that may not work.
Well, it's because we want listeners, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe wrap this one up.
You get to know your audience or hosts very well in this episode.
In a very biblical sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been wearing a top this entire time.
Yes, yes. He likes to take off his shirt when we play deception games like Ultimate One Night Werewolf. Yeah. And everyone has to have their eyes closed.
I gotta make first impression somehow.
Oh man, for the Midwest listeners, Jerry and I both got to experience this, I guess at this point, a few weeks back. 2019, they're bound to do another Geekway event. For the love of God, if you can get the tickets to it, do it. Yeah. That was my first year.
So Geekway,
holy crap, that was awesome.
Geekway takes place in St. Charles, Missouri, and it's a convention of board gamers and you just play board games all week, and it's fantastic.
We had a blast. You walk in, you show them your ticket, they give you your lanyard, and they give you a free board game.
Yep.
And then I walk into the main hall, and there was 3,000 people there on Saturday, and it was sold out.
Sold out 3,000 plus tickets. It's crazy. It was fun.
It was so well put together. There was a ton of vendors. You get to meet people who make and publish these games. They let you test, play games. You have a chance to win a bunch. Just, my God, it was fun. The only thing I regret was not picking up stuff like Star Wars Rebellion or Imperial Assault. I'm holding off on Legion for the time being.
I regretted they didn't allow alcohol on the main floor.
They didn't?
Nope.
Where did you get alcohol? You had to sneak it.
It felt like high school all over again.
What?
Awesome. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think.
May the force be with y'all.
Life has no objective meaning. Peace.
And existentialism. That's how we end.
Nihilism.
There you go.
I don't think this episode's going to air.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Love, dub.
It's 2018. I think we're good.
But like they digitally made Sarah Jessica Parker not look like something from Out of the Sea for two Sex and the City movies. That's like 4 hours of content right there.
Neither Greg nor Jess found that very funny at all.
But Jerry's dying.
He had to bite his hand mid-delivery of that joke.
And the thing is, they had to do all that makeup on her between her running the Belmont Stakes and the Preakness.
Did
we break Wookiee?
I'm here. Hi. I'm good.
So, what questions are swirl around in your brain pan about Han Solo?
Sarah Jessica Parker, if you come to St. Louis, I'll hand feed you a carrot.
I will try not to laugh at you.
I'll feed the thirsty horse.
Oh, God. An episode of us laughing our asses off.
It's been a rough week.
That's how I laugh when my hands are when my head's buried in my hands, ladies and gentlemen. Oh God, we need to pineapple all that out.
Let's talk about.
Oh no! They loved the laugh attack in the last episode, so.
No, I mean we need to take out all
t-shirts, guys.
No, we need to take out all the insults at Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh yeah, probably a good call.
Because she's gonna watch an episode about Han Solo.
No, I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with the tweets from PETA.